Eddie Extra. Prologue. Tackling male violence starts in the classroom. An Eddie provocative from Dr. Stephen Whitehead. Narrated by Jason Lasky. Dear subscribers, this week's Eddie Extra is powerful and provocative, deliberately so. Eddie's raison d'être is to occupy the space between casual blogging and formal academic journals, with more editorial control than the former, but less constraints than the latter. Our articles are research-informed, but free of the conventions of formal academic writing, have more latitude. As a regular reader, or listener, we hope you'll agree that Eddie has a voice, and that we try to use that voice for good, whether that's digesting important research, sharing news and opinion, or, like today, offering pieces which ask you to think, reflect, and ponder. Written by Dr. Stephen Whitehead, today's Eddie Extra asks the question, what do the women and their murderers have in common? The answer is that they all went to school. And, that being the case, as educators, it makes it our responsibility to be part of the solution. Stephen's piece is well worth the time to read or listen to. We would also encourage you to share it with colleagues. You could even make it the topic of your next staff meeting or professional learning forum. Change starts here. Until next week, Eddie. What do Sarah Everett, Biba Henry, Nicole Smallman, Julia James, and Sabina Nessa have in common? Image. Several bouquets of colorful flowers lie atop one another. White paper signs with blue, purple, and red writing read, quote, "You call this democracy? This is the abuse of power against women. RIP. Sarah Everard." End quote. Quote, "The police don't make us safe." End quote. Quote, "How many more?" End quote. Quote, "I won't cheer up. Love not, when life for women and fellow queer folk is that short." End quote. Answer. These women were murdered by men in the UK over the past year. If you followed recent UK news, then you'll recognize the names above. But do you know the names of the other 80 women killed by men since Sarah Everard was murdered by Wayne Cousins? Probably not, though their UK families and friends certainly do. Here's another question. What do the women and their murderers have in common? Answer. They all went to school. Yes, among those delightful faces in your primary school classes sit the next generation of female victims and the next generation of their male murderers, rapists, abusers, and torturers. Sure, it is a most unpleasant thought to contemplate, but that doesn't make it any less true. There is absolutely no chance of stemming this tide of male violence and its ensuing misery until we, educationalists, step in to address it. The judicial system won't stop it. Every country in the world suffers from male violence, and every country in the world has penalties for it. Wayne Cousins won't ever leave prison. Small comfort. Because very soon, we're going to read of yet another woman murdered by a man. Inevitably, as on average, one woman is killed by a man every 3 days in the UK. In the year ending March 2020, 81 women in the UK were killed in a domestic homicide. The Office of National Statistics, UK, estimates that 1 in 3 women over the age of 16 in the UK were subjected to at least one form of harassment in the past year, a figure that increases to 2 in 3 for women aged 16 to 34. In the very week this article is published, a couple are knifed to death in their Somerset home while their children slept in another bedroom. A male neighbor has been charged. The body of 18-year-old Bobby Ann McLeod is found in Plymouth, murdered. And 3 men are charged with the 1996 murder of schoolgirl Caroline Glacken in Scotland. As you listen to these horrors, there are many thousands of females around the world being subjected to rape, abuse, violence, harassment, and murder. Violence, especially sexual violence against females, has become normalized in society. The day Stephen began work on this article, women across the UK are boycotting nightclubs because of the epidemic of drink spiking and the ensuing risk of rape and harassment at venues. While BBC Three presents two documentaries featuring Zara McDermott and her uncovering of a rape culture raging in Britain's schools. Yes, in our schools. You may prefer to imagine rape culture is not a problem in your school, but how confident can you be about that? How many of your female students are already caught up with the sexting culture, feeling pressure to send potential boyfriends nude photos of themselves? It's happening, and in the most prestigious international and independent schools. This is the real global pandemic we face as a human society. Quote, "Toxic masculinity is so ingrained in society, we interpret it as a progressive act when urban planners start focusing on how to design cities so as to make the streets safer for women, enabling them to feel more secure when moving around a city. We applaud when trains and subway cars start having women-only carriages. We consider it a sensible move when cities such as Seoul find it necessary to introduce women-only taxis. And we look with some incredulity when 250,000 Japanese women feel it necessary to download an app designed to stop men groping them on rush hour trains." This is how bad it is. So bad, we have stopped seeing it. End quote. From Whitehead, 2021, Toxic Masculinity, Curing the Virus. Image: a red circle on a white background around a silhouette of a man walking towards the left. The word "trust" is written in capital letters within a rectangular box covering half of the man's head. If you are a woman listening to this, then it is 100% certain that you've been on the receiving end of male aggression, abuse, sexism, unwanted sexual attention or messaging, harassment, perhaps even a lot worse. If you are a man listening to this, how does that make you feel? It should make you feel ashamed, damned annoyed, and determined to do something to stop it. This problem is like a virus within the male species, and it is global. I know, it is just too vast a problem to comprehend, but comprehend it we must, because this is one virus that cannot be eradicated by a vaccine. We educationalists are the only antidote available, and we must apply it as soon as these innocent boys and girls enter our professional domain, ideally from preschool onwards. The first step is ensuring our schools are totally inclusive. What exactly that means and how to go about it is detailed in my forthcoming co-authored book, Creating a Totally Inclusive School. Total inclusivity means recognizing, valuing, protecting, and nurturing diverse identities, including those of race, gender, sexual orientation, class, disability, age, religion, and language. This will provide the school with the necessary framework and value system to enable it to move forward to the next stage, which is tackling misogyny, sexism, and male violence in the classroom. A key element here is getting teachers and parents to understand that gender identity is not a biological given, but one of a number of socially intersected identities which go to form the individual's, child's, sense of self and identity. In other words, male does not automatically equate with problematic behavior, any more than are all adult men a threat to women. There are different types of masculinities, and only one of them, socially referred to as toxic masculinity, but which psychologists define as hegemonic or traditional masculinity, is the problem one. Unfortunately, it is also the most common. Image: a black and white photograph of a woman, naked from the waist up, her long, dark hair pulled over her left side, her back turned away from the camera, and the words, quote, "Love shouldn't hurt," end quote, written in thick black paint down the right side of her back. The good news is that because male identity is social, not biological, it can be made less toxic with the right interventions. The question remains, however, Do schools care enough to want to do something about it? Schools around the world have been caught up in the performative treadmill, fixated on results and targets, with far too little attention given to how toxic masculinity might be addressed in education and how we can educate boys to have healthy relationships, respect females, develop emotional intelligence, and regulate their emotions. Do you imagine boys or men are going to be able to overcome their toxic masculine social conditioning by themselves? Hardly. This conditioning starts young and is reinforced by 24/7 social media and all the prevailing messages about what it means to be male, to be a man. There has to be an intervention, but it's not going to come from politicians, the judicial systems, social welfare, or an obsession with competitive sport. Nor is it going to come from having great academic results. Quote, UNESCO and the Organization for Economic Cooperation and Development, among others, emphasize the importance of learning to be and learning to live together, not just learning to know and learning to do. End quote. Dr. Sue Roffrey. I am not saying we ditch learning to know and learning to do, but surely learning to be and learning to live together must come first. For all our sakes, for our children's sakes, but especially for the sakes of all those girls and women who are going to be raped, abused, and murdered by men in the years to come, we need to be planning our interventions as educationalists because we are the only antidote left. This has been Eddie Extra. What do Sarah Everett, Biba Henry, Nicole Smallman, Julia James, and Sabina Nessa have in common? From Dr. Stephen Whitehead. Narrated by Jason Lasky. Published by Educational Digest International. Copyright 2021. Produced by J. Lasky Voices. Providing sound solutions for your voiceover needs. JLaskyVoices.com.